Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, he, him, his. I'm a queer, political, actor, activist, comedian, Cancerian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred. That's a black nerd. And each week, I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle the news, pop culture, politics, media, history, and more, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout. This week, I'm joined by...
Call me Ishmael. I am Kyle Ishmael, he, him, his, blackity black, gay New York political, Pisces, co-host of the cult hit podcast House Party, and hopelessly hopeful lover of croissants. You can find me on all the socials, Instagram and Twitter, at KyleIM.
Okay, so the debates are literally happening right now, as we speak. So, no recaps going on this week. I wonder if Elizabeth Warren is going to go all Arya Stark on everyone up on that stage, mainly a certain billionaire. Speaking of Michael Bloomberg, he's going full swing. And what do you do when you have a family member who's considering voting for Bloomberg? Is he the progressive's Trump? Ugh. We are going to look at his complicated record from Stop and Frisk and other classic Mike Bloombies. It's like a Mike Bloomby mixtape up in here. Maybe we should just stop looking for some political saviors to save us all? I don't know. Kyle breaks down how the primaries are like watching American Idol. As we look at the primaries so far, our feelings, our thoughts, our worries, our emotions, our fears, we talk about Bernie Bros, and so much more. Lovers and Friends Festival is happening, or is it? Is this the new Fyre Fest? Did Kyle already buy his ticket? Uh-oh. Is little Kim going to even be there? Oh, and we dig into, did she have a shootout back in the day with Foxy Brown? So I've got some hot recommendations for you to stream American Factory and High Fidelity with Zoe Kravitz. And we figure out how many degrees of separation I am from the coolest person on the planet. And in the main event, I walk you through a couple of orgs to get involved with who need your time, money, and awareness this political season, regardless of who you're voting for, to help ease your woes of hopelessness, to help combat gerrymandering, protecting voting rights, winning back the Senate, helping kids in cages. There's so many ways to get involved. I've got your back because nobody gets to sit this one out. Plus, me doing impressions of Snoop Dogg and Michael Bloomberg. Well, this is going to be a fun one. So let's get into it. Get ready to learn, laugh, and play right here on Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority. What up, Kyle?
What up, James?
Yeah. You know, I was going to say in the very beginning, it was like, ooh, we're having a house party in here.
We are kind of having a house party in here.
Yeah. Yeah, but we are.
Folks would need to get the reference.
We need to get the reference because Originally, so Kyle is here from the podcast House Party.
Yes.
Amongst other things.
The hit podcast.
Hit podcast. House Party. I would like to say, don't I get some sort of like an...
You want a credit somehow?
Yes, that's exactly... Okay. I was in the room when it was, I remember being brought into a room.
Okay.
For my ideas.
For your ideas?
Well, no. Okay. Like, wasn't I consulted? I was consulted.
You were consulted. You were absolutely consulted.
You
yes,
know,
yes.
I gave some ideas and feedback because I was the veteran podcaster.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. How many episodes are you down to now? Two something?
I'm at 218. You're 218. On episode 219.
This is
welcome.
Episode 219.
Yeah.
And today, and it's 219.
Whoa, that's weird.
Wow.
Hi.
Look at
Hello.
That. Universe.
This is the universe speaking. It's all meant to be. Mm-hmm. But only half of House Party is here.
Yes. Only, I don't know if I'm the house. I'm probably the house. Malik is definitely the party.
That's fair. Yeah. Because you work up in Albany.
I do.
Doing the political thing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that would make you the house.
That's the house.
He's the party.
Yeah, he's the party. Although I like to believe that we are verse.
That's fair. I like mm-hmm. that. You guys are both both the host and the party.
Sometimes I can be the party.
Sometimes you got to switch it up.
Yeah. Tonight, clearly, I have to do both.
You have to, yes, because full disclosure, I hope you knew I was going to shade him as soon as we hit record.
I hope you knew that. That's why he just texted
me. So he was supposed to be here, and then he's like, so if you guys don't, the debates are literally happening.
Literally happening in,
10 minutes. Not literally happening right now at all.
But they are literally about to happen.
Literally about to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, literally.
Which means this is going to be a really short episode, because I'm going to do my little spiel and then run up out of here.
It's just like a little, some dust, which is like the cartoon, just like just smoke. But then Malik was like, oh, I can't come.
Ooh, it's the debate.
He's got to go watch the debates, and he's gonna Twitter it.
He's going to tweet it.
He's going to, I don't. He said he was going to, oh, I don't know. He was going to be on the twits, the Twitterati.
Twitterverse.
He's hoping to go viral tonight, so check his Twitter. Okay. Which, you guys, just, we'll plug it. We usually don't do this at the end of the show.
Okay, well, you
let's
know,
plug your Twitter right now.
Do it at
now.
The beginning. All right, so mine is...
Not yours, the house party Twitter. Okay.
Mine is Kyle I Am. Follow me there first.
I'm going to cut that.
And then, then you can follow the other things. But you can follow us on House Party NY.
It's so weird to do this in the Twitter. Beginning. I feel like now you're just plugging
we'll
your...
We'll do it again.
We don't even know so, you.
Yeah. Hey, look, just, you know...
Well, you can follow, like, well, here's what I want you to do. Go look at the House Party Twitter and see if their live tweets went viral.
Well, but the thing is, Malik is going to use his own Twitter account.
So it's not
He's not even going to attempt to go viral on the House Party account.
Okay. Well, now it just became Shady Corner. But speaking of, so the debates are going to happen in literally 8 minutes. Mm-hmm. We're going to do a reenactment of what we think will happen.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So I'll play the part of... So this is the first debate with Michael Bloomberg
Mini Mike.
He's a billionaire.
He is a real one.
And all right, here we go.
Michael Bloomberg. Okay.
Everybody, I'm Michael Bloomberg.
That's not sure that's how he sounds, but okay.
I got billions of dollars. Did you see all of my ads? I spent $400 million. I bet your dad's going to vote for me now.
Mm.
And it's true.
Yeah.
Currently.
Your dad is going to vote for him.
Yeah, I had a conversation.
Okay.
This is great, because you're into politics.
Mm-hmm.
You dabble.
I dabble.
So my question is that, like, listen, I'm all for, like, vote blue for no matter
what.
Who
or whatever.
Vote blue no matter who. I love a
rhyme.
There you go. I love a rhyme. Mm-hmm. I think that there's some people that are just more, like, not as great as others.
Yeah.
And how do you steer, like, a family member away from... Because I feel like this is, like, my... Like, when I had, like, you know, white friends who were like, oh, my parents are voting for Trump. I don't know what that would be like. I don't know what... can't advise you.
Yeah.
But now I'm like, uh-oh, my dad's been like, Michael Bloomberg. And he was like, he said something to the effect of like, I know he has that blemish about stop and frisk.
Just a blemish.
But that's how great, like, the odds apparently has been.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Bloomberg's on this debate. And it's frustrating because, yes, the DNC did change the rules to allow him to be on.
Right, they did.
At the same time, like, I'm like, get his ass on
that
stage.
Get him. I agree.
Right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's that kind of issue, right? Like, on one hand, it's like, well, you changed the rules to let this billionaire little white guy on stage.
How many people couldn't make it? Like, Julian Castro couldn't make it. Like,
yeah, Julian Castro didn't make it.
Cory
Booker didn't make it.
Kamala did, but she was like,
she did,
I'm
but
out.
She was like, I'm out of here, guys. I can't raise enough money, and y'all aren't loving me the way you should.
Which, we missed out. I think you saw Maya Rudolph on SNL when she...
Oh, yeah.
You could have had a bad bitch.
Yeah.
Could have
had a bad bitch.
But I think that also steps up to, I hope that in 2024... Well, actually, I hope in 2028.
Yes.
I hope we won't.
And we're going to need a good stretch of Democratic presidents to erase a lot of this bullshit.
Well, I'm just hoping that the next time when we have to really do the Democratic primary process that, like, Iowa won't be going first. I think that
had
a reason why Kamala Harris wasn't doing as well, because she had to cater her campaign towards Iowa to a certain degree.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's multiple reasons for her specifically.
She had a terrible campaign staff.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's definitely some things that went wrong there with regards
don't let
to
your
structure and all
say,
of that.
And I'm going to pretend like the microphone is off.
Okay.
This is off the record.
Mm-hmm. But
don't have your family in your campaign.
Yeah,
I mean, think the rumor, what I heard, is like her sister and her campaign manager just had very different ideas.
Yeah.
And it gets difficult. So that'd be my advice.
Yeah.
for anybody who's looking to run for president.
Don't have your family members running shit. No. Nope. Or at the very least, make it very, very clear
who's in charge,
who's doing what, yeah, right, and who's okay. in charge. Yeah, but either way, you're going to run into issues.
I would give, like, my brother, like, you're in charge of making, like, posters.
Yeah, there you go.
Give them something that, like, makes them seem really, like, important, right, and be like, this actually, is your area.
Yeah, yeah. You know we really need these
posters.
Posters. Like, and
you, here's glitter. Go crazy.
Come on.
Our budget is $55, but
so you know.
But that's your job. Out. You make those numbers work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Make it work.
So, but Bloomberg.
Yes. On the stage.
Yeah. So that. Bloomberg's on the stage. Is this what should we be terrified? Is this a good thing? He's running. He's doing really well in polls.
He is, and he's like shooting up, and in Surgeon. Some places he's like yeah, in some places he's like second, and some places he's third. So it's problematic. Getting back to your point about like your dad and like how do you, you know,
how
like
do I navigate
talk
that?
To people? I mean, I think you have to think about like, what are your issues with him? You know, like what are your issues with Bloomberg? Mm. And like,
was that a rhetorical question or you want me to listen to
them? I mean, you can, if you want to, you know, let's tease it out a bit.
Cause I think like something that I've been noticing, I'm all for like vetting candidates, mm-hmm. but I also want to do it in a very respectful way. And I don't want to tell someone who to vote for, mm-hmm. but the things that give me pause, cause again, I'll vote blue no matter who. Mm-hmm. First of all, it's just, like, I really want there to be someone that will really excite folks to go out there. Cause like, listen, at the end of the day, that's why like, I'm not trying to trash any candidate too hard. Because I'm going to have to go campaign for whoever the fuck that somebody. Person is.
Right, yeah.
Passionately.
And it might not be your person.
And it might not be my person. It
might
so,
not be your first choice.
Yeah, that's why I'm like still listening to every single... Yeah, I know who it is that I'm vying for, but I'm still listening to right. all of the candidates have to be because it could be them.
Yeah, and maybe you hear something you like and that's your motivation to like get out there and...
Now I am, you know. I mean, I think for stop and frisk to be brushed under as a blemish, as someone might have said in my family.
In your family.
I think it negates, first of all, like 9 out of 10 stop and frisk cases were found to be like bullshit.
For no fucking reason. Yeah.
And then we have to also acknowledge not only the trauma that person is affected by.
Yeah.
And then the people, and that doesn't just affect them, it affects their community.
Right. Their family.
All
that shit.
People like to I can't even imagine like living around and seeing that. I'm like, I'm glad I wasn't live. Like I would have been stopped and I feel like you black, you gotta get stopped and frisked.
Yeah.
And so
And multiple times.
And then if it does happen to then the mindset that creates for somebody. Mm-hmm. And then if they do end up going I think it just creates criminality. I think it just creates criminals because then through stop and frisk policies, if someone does end up going to jail and then there's fines and then you can't pay your fines and then you're further in, you know,
further in debt, further in jail. Your job situation.
Yeah.
Taking care of your family. And your kids.
I have a warrant for my arrest in this goddamn city because I didn't pay my parking ticket. Should I be recording still?
Let's maybe delete that.
I wasn't a parking ticket. It was a bullshit MTA ticket and I'd already paid my...
Did you jump to Turnstile?
I had already paid for the week, and I was not going to wait for the... I don't know why, like, you're not the prosecution.
I'm the judge. Go on, do tell.
I had already paid for the week, and I have the receipts to show it, which I did show the adjudicator. Uh-huh. I don't know if that was his title, but it sounded right.
Okay, sure.
Kyle's a lawyer, just in case you're wondering. Uh-huh. I feel like I'm on the stand.
Yeah, you are.
I'm sweating. I'm cracking.
That's all right.
Gosh.
Case dismissed. You're fine.
Okay, great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I just feel like that's why people don't like, if you're on the defense, that's why you don't go on the stand. I did not last.
Because, you didn't last.
But I had already paid my seven days.
No, we're still doing this.
Okay. I feel like I really, you know
like
what?
I'm going to make my case.
I've realized, see, I told you, we have a list of things that we're going to talk about. And anyway, we haven't even answered any of my questions up.
Barely even got to the first, but that's fine. How it goes.
I get defensive, and so then I feel like I'm on the defense. I need to explain. Okay. Yeah, that was good that you acknowledged that. That was our Oprah Super Soul Session moment.
Yes, absolutely. It's good to open with one of those.
Bloomberg.
Yes, that guy. So yeah, he's on the stage. I mean, you could talk about stop and frisk with your dad. You can talk about, like you said, not just like the impact on individuals, but the impact on their families and like what it said for who we were as like New Yorkers and what New York was and looked like at that time. Full disclosure, I worked for Bloomberg's first re-election campaign. So it was 2005 campaign.
Right.
I was like a sophomore in college, and it was like a job.
A job, yeah. You know?
And I enjoyed it, and it was my first like big political experience, and he treated his staff very well. I got paid well, and I got food and all kind of cool stuff.
Food's always great.
Food's always great and for a cool college sophomore.
Oh, yeah. You're like, this is the shit.
Yes, free good food. Hell yeah. But yeah, a lot of the shit that like stop and frisk is real shit.
Yeah.
Like it's not like something to be brushed aside. Like there are people still dealing with the ramifications of it.
Yeah. And that, I mean, so, yeah. To me, that speaks to the sort of leadership. And then what my dad said is like, well, he has since apologized. And I had to organize the timeline for this because yeah. I watched The View religiously, as all the listeners know. Mm-hmm. And I think he was on about a year ago in January. He hadn't made the announcement that he was going to run.
Yeah.
And Sonny had asked him point blank and he did not apologize for it.
He was still defending the shit.
Until about 3 months before he was going to run,
right.
Then he apologized.
Exactly.
So
all that shit's disingenuous to me. Like, obviously, now you're running, so now you feel the need to apologize. And yeah, it's a little too late.
And yeah, he helped fundraise for a lot. Like, so he used to be Republican. And I don't have like an anti-Republican necessarily stance, but
yeah.
I do need to look at your record of, you know,
and where you've been on issues.
What does that mean? That
right, right. It's one thing to just say you were a Republican. Like, what did you do to further that?
And what have you done since then? Because, you know, Elizabeth Warren was Republican, but it was a very long time ago. And
she wasn't in politics. It's not as if she was like passing policies as a Republican. She was just a Republican lady from Oklahoma.
And which, again, upbringing makes sense. And then sometimes you grow out of those ideas.
Once you start doing things on your own and all that good shit.
And I don't know if Michael Bloomberg has necessarily grown out of all those
things. Well, apparently he's grown in the past year, right? Because he's apologized and seen the error of his ways. You do a lot of growing when you're 80 fucking years old, apparently.
That's true. I guess, yeah.
No, it's not true at all.
Okay. I thought we were trying to give the benefit of the doubt for a second.
No, sorry.
It does spook me because I feel like... I just feel like, here's the thing. I think that people are just kind of looking for some sort of a savior.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
We need to stop doing that as Americans because we all have a responsibility to participate in politics in some way or another. If it's staying aware, if it's donating to causes and making sure that you vote, like... Right. There's not just going to be one person that's going to come in broad stroke and change and fix everything.
Fix everything. Yeah. I mean, I think, and this is like something that, you know, Malik and I talked about on our last session of House Party.
Who?
You know, that guy.
Just kidding.
But like we talked about this idea that like everybody nowadays is a political pundit. Like everybody is an analyst.
Yeah.
And so you have these random ass voters in fucking Iowa being like, oh, I should vote for this person because, you know, somebody in this random congressional district in Wisconsin will like them.
Right.
Or, you know, where it's like, you could just vote for the person you like.
Yeah, look at, what you're looking for in policy-wise or in a leader.
Policy-wise, who you think best represents the Democratic Party, and they could do that on the national level. But, yeah, I feel like people are elevating Bloomberg because for some reason they feel like, oh, he can beat Trump. Or he has the money at least to put in to beat Trump. But also, like, Bloomberg has said that he has committed his millions and billions to defeating Trump.
Yeah.
And even if it's not him that wins the primary, he'll support whoever does with all his money. So it's kind of like, cool, take your fucking money and choose the person that we like.
Boom. I mean, it's a win-win. Yeah. And also, too, it's like he has, like, I mean, he's done a lot of great philanthropic work as well.
Yes.
With, he's been really leading the charge for, like, gun control legislation. Environment is really high on his list now as well.
Yeah.
But, like, that philanthropic work will continue. Like, I actually think he'll do... I think he shouldn't be a president because he should be doing those things.
Yeah, go over there and go spend your money.
Because he's not going to be able to do that as president. Like, he won't be able to do it.
And he probably will.
And I think it's like this obsession. I feel like, haven't we learned our lesson? It just, it's too close. Because remember, Trump was a Democrat and then he was a Republican and then Bloomberg and
he was a Republican and then an independent and then, well, actually, so Bloomberg was a Democrat.
Yes.
Then became a Republican to run for mayor, then became independent, and then recently became a Democrat again to run in the Democratic Party.
There's a timeline. Oh, also in 2016, he spent a lot of money helping to get Republicans elected.
In the Senate.
In the Senate.
Yeah.
Which, if you remember what just happened recently, the Senate did a cover-up for the president.
Yeah.
And so, he's helped to create these issues.
The situation
problems.
That we have right now
Brett
with
Kavanaugh.
Trump.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
The list
exactly.
goes on.
It's problematic. He's very problematic.
So I guess my
explain
thing is,
that to your dad.
I guess, but should I do it in a text?
Just have him listen to the show. Like,
it's like I made my dad a mixtape. Mm-hmm. It's literally like I recorded like a
mixtape of all the reasons to not support Michael Bloomberg. Yeah.
Oh Lord. How are you feeling about the primaries so far?
Are you
enjoying this process? Is it?
It is. I would not say enjoying, but it is a process.
I thought I'd be. You know what? I was enjoying it more
earlier on.
Earlier,
you know what it's like to me? It's like American Idol. Like I really enjoy it at the beginning, where it's like, oh, this person's horrible. Let's watch and laugh. And then it's like, oh, this person's good. Like, I can't wait to see how well they do moving forward.
Yeah, and then
forward.
You get the one that you're really excited about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, they start to whittle out the crazies. And, it starts to get, real competitive and real serious. And then, it's not as entertaining.
No.
But, for me, I find it entertaining, of course. But, that's exactly what it is.
It
becomes more real.
Yeah. You know? And, the stakes are higher.
And then it's like, oh, shit, I have to vote to, send Fantasia home.
Don't you do it. She needs this.
The other two black women, it's tough out here.
And that is the best. That is exactly what it's like. Yeah, so I feel like the fun of it is a little bit gone. Also, because the field is like that. Like, it's like when some of your favorites get knocked out. Or, I hadn't even really made a decision yet. And folks were already getting, pulled
knocked
away,
up.
Pulled
yeah.
out of it. Mm-hmm. So, do you think that... This is a weird question to ask. Mm-hmm. Do you think that some candidates have challenging followers or followers?
Why don't you just ask what you want to ask?
What do you think about the Bernie Bros?
Right, there you go.
I try to be impartial.
Yeah. I mean, it's a thing, right? Like, it's a discussion, at the very least.
Right, yeah. Right.
No, it's a fucking thing, man. Like, Bernie Bros, or I'll even go so far as to say, Bernie Twitter bros, to try to give them a little more credit, right? Because I feel like now everybody's like there's a bunch of women who are like, oh, don't call us Bernie bros, we're not bros, we're the perception is Bernie bros are white, frat guys or whatever. And so now there's people of color who are like, oh, that's racist to say Bernie bros, which
I'm
is fucking ridiculous. So fine, Bernie Twitter bros. Sure. Basically the people who are mad aggressive on social media.
It's sort of because it's I painting with a broad brush, the challenging thing of it. Like for myself, mm-hmm. I had an issue with Okay Boomer because I don't think you can I have
You took issue with it?
I had issue with
Okay Boomer. Fuck those boomers, shit.
How dare you? I have my uncles and aunts are boomers.
Yes, all of our uncles and aunts and
they're great.
Parents. Sure, individually.
I feel like what people were trying to say was specifically talk about a specific type of boomer,
the stereotype
white
that covers
older
many of them.
People who've ruined,
Yes.
So you're like that thing.
Right there.
I think the Bernie Bros too is specifically it's sort of this broad brush of specifically trying to target white liberal males who are
who
are
mean very, well, but it's hard to see.
They have white male rage. White male rage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I guess for myself, it's I just want, again, I'm let's vet these candidates. Let's, mm-hmm. No need for kid gloves and this whole other thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At the same time, I think we have to remember at the end of the day, we have to be able to come back together.
Right.
And
I think what
ends up happening is there's just a lot of aggressive vitriol that I have been experiencing, and it tends to mainly be from white male dudes.
Yeah.
And it's weird because I voted for Bernie Sanders last go around. Mm-hmm. There's a wider palette
for me
to choose from. Like, I didn't have that last time.
Which is a good thing.
It's a great thing.
Yeah.
It's a good
thing. I mean, I generally have been supportive. I like the fact that there are 8 million people running in the primary.
7 million now.
Yeah, now 7. Yeah. But you let the process play out, and once we get to the point where states are actually voting, then it's all right, we can tangibly see who's doing well, who has more work to do, who really should just go sit down, you know.
Some of them are starting to get the message.
Yeah, some of them are starting to get the message. So, like, generally, Duvall. You know, how the... That was just an embarrassment.
Where did he come from? He was like, and me.
And me. We're like, wait. Ooh, never mind.
What?
Right. Yeah.
I think Bloomberg got more votes in New Hampshire and... this is what's really sad. Mm. Bloomberg wasn't even on the ballot in New Hampshire, and he got more write-in votes
than Deval Patrick, who ran the state next door.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Problem.
But at the same time, sometimes that's not necessarily the best thing, because if the Boston Globe doesn't like you, then what happened with Warren. Don't. They go hard on her.
It doesn't matter. Don't do it. It's still your state.
But I do think it is interesting, the power with Bloomberg's, you know, popularity. It does show, like, the power of media. And, like, live and breathe and eat politics, mm-hmm. podcasts. Like, I'm constantly taking it in. Mm-hmm. So I know, like, all the intricacies and the ins and outs. But for the everyday person, if they're just seeing all these, like, you know, ads, and they just think, like, oh, my God.
Black people.
Bloomberg and Obama were best friends.
Right, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
They were not. He was incredibly critical of Obama.
Sure was.
He
gave money to Republicans.
Gave money to Republicans. He didn't endorse Obama in 2008.
Barely did in 2012.
Barely did in 2012. Mm. So.
But again, was critical.
There's a great ad of him. It looks like they're best
friends. You would have thought that he was his fucking vice president.
Yes.
Yeah.
So do your homework, everybody. And
Mike Bloomberg was not besties.
Do I send a text? I don't want to feel like my. Back to I don't want to feel like I'm attacking my dad for his political ideas.
Okay, so don't have him listen to the show.
I want to find what's like the right approach to to be able to, you know.
Well, what does your dad care about?
Getting Trump out of office.
Okay, I mean, the polls show that many of the candidates can do that.
Yeah, I mean.
So
my aunt Sharon could do that.
Yeah, probably. Hopefully,
she's dope.
She's a nice person.
Arizona, so she's got that swing state.
There you go. It is purple.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, she'll bring it along. Make it blue on Sharon. Make it blue.
We need that shit. Think about what your dad cares about, and then make it personal. Okay. Say, look, as a young black male,
who
would have been stopped and frisked multiple times.
Yeah.
I take great offense to the fact that you could support someone who advanced that policy, knowing what it did to black and brown communities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not the only thing. Like, what about, like, monitoring Muslims in New York City?
Yeah. Also, what was his comments about, like, redlining?
Yeah, all kinds of crazy shit. Like, basically saying, like, we should have done more redlining, would have been even better.
And then what was the other thing he said about...
some shit about, like, Xeroxing black and brown faces. Like, basically, you know, saying that you can profile people. Oh, they all fucking look
16 to 25 years old, black and brown people are doing all the crimes. And we don't know how to act.
Don't know how to behave. All that shit.
Which...
What?
I know, like... It's so frustrating, like that sort of a stereotype, because it's like we have to work twice as hard to get half as much. Yeah. Black folks have to, like, we are taught that there's shit that we can't get away with.
Yeah,
and I see sometimes like my white colleagues doing shit that I'm like, I cannot get away with
that.
Never
do that shit.
So that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, thank you for helping me with my.
I hope that helps.
Break this, and at the same time, like, listen, if Michael Bloomberg is horrifically, I don't think it's gonna happen.
I don't think it's going to happen
anymore. I think he didn't play the game right. He's not coming in until Super Tuesday. By then, there's going to be such, you know, a big lead. I think this debate is happening right now.
Yeah, now we can say that.
And I think he's going to get trounced. I
hope so.
I think the more that...
I hope that's what's happening.
You so excited. You look like Christmas is tomorrow, and you know what you already got.
I mean, the thing is, like, he hasn't been on a debate stage in over a decade.
Yeah.
And even then, like, it was for mayor in a race that he was expected to win. He did win it, of course, but, like, he won it much closer than people thought he would. It was against a boring-ass candidate. Like, and it's a New York City mayoral debate, right? Yeah. Like, he's going to have Bernie Sanders on the stage, Elizabeth Warren on the stage, Biden, Klobuchar. I don't know what the hell Pete's going to do. Everyone's going to be coming for him. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. At the same time, it's like, it's weird because if you're not Bernie Sanders, you have to keep your eye not only on him, but you, because like, they really haven't been going for Bernie Sanders, and that's what he's been getting, you know, a huge lead. And yeah, so it's like, you've got to keep your eye on both of them at the same time. I am excited for people to like, because he's not been vetted. Mike's been just, you know, a brand and just a name.
Yeah, exactly. A brand. Yeah,
and now we can, you know.
Yeah, actually ask him some fucking questions.
Ask him some questions. Yeah. Speaking, I have a question for you.
Okay.
So you've heard of Firefest before, haven't you?
Oh my God, yes. So wait, there were two, didn't they do like two documentaries about Firefest?
There were two documentaries. Ooh. And you really
I've seen only one.
You didn't do it right. No? You have to watch both of them. Because which one did you watch, the Netflix or the Hulu one?
I think Netflix.
Here's the thing with the Netflix one.
Okay.
It's by the guys, Fuck Jerry, who were involved in the marketing for the Firefest.
Wow.
So they look really good in that documentary. Mm. When you watch the Hulu one,
you see how fucked up they were.
And they make a point in the Hulu one to be like, and Fuck Jerry knew about it at this point, and Fuck Jerry knew about this at this point. Mm-hmm. But in the Hulu one, they did
pay. So basically they're saying, fuck the Netflix, Fuck Jerry version.
Fuck Netflix, Fuck Jerry.
Fuck Jerry.
Fuck Jerry, yeah. But in the Hulu one, they both, again, like a politician. Mm-hmm. Good and bad things about both. So you take it all in.
Yeah.
The Hulu one, they paid that McFarlane guy, Billy McFarlane. They paid him like $50,000 to be on the. So it's like, pay them.
But I mean, you kind of have to, I guess.
I think he's back in jail, so it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
If he was friends with Trump, he could maybe.
Yeah, get pardoned.
Get like a pardon.
All the other criminals out here.
It's interesting how, like, they're so. I feel like this is why I'm so glad I meditate twice a day.
I need to start doing it.
I missed my second one. No. I'm anxious right now.
Okay. You need it.
But yeah, because like everything's got me on pins and needles. Mm-hmm. I did not used to really care about the Roger Stone case before, but now I'm like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, first of all, is the judge going to.
Like throw the book at him?
Throw the book at him? Yeah, or is it because, you know, William Barr stepped in and was like, hey, don't give him that harsh of a sentence. Is democracy falling apart before our very eyes?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Pay attention.
Cool.
It's happening.
Well, what also is, if this is too much for you and you need a break, well, don't you worry. There is a new festival for you.
I was going to say, yeah, can we go back to this festival? Because I don't want to go off with this yet.
Yeah, so this is called the Lovers and Friends Festival. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be happening in LA. Mm-hmm. And
is it going to be happening in LA?
Well, that's the thing. So they're like, all these people are going to be here. Lauryn Hill, TLC.
Which in and of itself is questionable.
Lil' Kim. Well, I mean, first of all, Lauryn Hill's top billing. Get her a clock.
Yeah.
Get her a watch.
Just tell her it's a different day.
Make sure she knows exactly what day and time. Tell her it's like, if it's supposed to be on a Saturday.
So it's supposed to be Saturday, May 9th.
Yeah.
You should tell her Friday.
Tell her Friday.
Morning.
Friday morning, and she'll maybe get there on Sunday.
Yes.
oh, shit. Yeah, so there's all these people who are supposed to be in it, and then on Twitter, folks like Lil' Kim was like, this is fake.
I'm not going to
be there.
Right.
So now people are like, oh my God, is this a fake thing? But then Snoop Dogg stepped in recently, and he was like,
no, this
shit's
real.
Hey, everybody, this shit is real. Faux shizzle.
That's your Snoop voice.
Very close to Snoop. Very close to my Michael Bloomberg.
Yeah, there's some similarity there.
Oh, gosh. And then what's funny is he says, look him, get at me on the DM so we can get at you about this money.
Yeah.
So it's supposed
to. You think that you would do that, like, you know, before you create the flyer?
They literally just put all these names on it: Sean Paul, Nelly, Brandy.
But there's so
Monica.
Many. There's so many like red flags. Now, mind you, I got this. A couple friends sent it to me, and I was like, "Oh shit,
I'm going."
Like, I'm about to buy my ticket right now.
You literally.
Like, come on, Lauryn Hill, Usher, Ludacris, TLC. Janae Aiko, Summer Walker, Megan Thee Stallion, like so many good ass people.
Mace.
Yeah, look at that.
But Mace also said, hey,
real slowly.
I don't think this, I'm going. He's preaching here in Harlem or something.
Yeah, some shit. Does he still do that? I know he was. I don't know if he's still
good. Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, look, like there's red flags. Like there's Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown.
Oh, you together. Know this is not.
Like, come
but
on.
You know, maybe they've gotten older and wiser and put down their guns. I remember on the radio once, and it's hard because, well, I guess I could Google this. But at the time, there was no Google, so you couldn't fact check this.
Uh-huh, okay.
I remember that they had gotten like a fight. They were like shooting at each other across the street from each other.
Okay. I don't know if that's real, but you know, sure. Whatever.
Or maybe it was a dream, or it was in a Lil' Kim song, because there is a song where she's talking about like getting shot at. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe combined it.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, anyways, I hope they work it out.
I hope they work it out. I hope they work out this fucking festival.
And I hope Lil' Kim's face might just be.
Ooh, I don't know if it's gonna be. Just gonna be what it is.
Needs time to heal it up. Yeah. Well, I would just say for any of you who were gonna buy tickets to Lovers and Friends, including you, Kyle.
Yeah.
You better.
I still might.
Even after this might be not the real time.
Yes, I'm sorry.
Look at you. He's going. He's on the website trying to buy a ticket.
Yeah, right now. I think. Look. Just to be safe, everybody should just make sure that they're in LA on Saturday, May 9th.
Well,
that's all I'm saying.
The good news is, unlike
at the very least,
Festival,
we'll be together.
At least you're going to be in LA.
Right.
You're not.
Like, I'm not on some random island somewhere. I'm not trapped.
Eating a cheese sandwich, trying to suck a dick for some water.
For some water. Right. Exactly. And I mean, if I want to suck a dick, I can do
you
it
can.
On my
right.
own.
You don't
without,
need
like,
for
sustenance.
The water to be an
like,
incentive.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're going to. If you had a. This is the Minority Corner advice for the week. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you want to suck a dick, you just do it.
Yeah.
You don't need
water to do
for it.
Water.
No, you do it because you're like, I want
to
suck this dick.
You choose to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad we
and
got
then
that.
Drink water afterwards.
Yeah.
You know.
Stay hydrated.
Hygiene. And
I don't want you to pass out because it's going to be in the summer.
Yeah.
And is it? Or is
May?
It the spring?
May.
Oh, it's in May?
Springtime. Mm. That's perfect weather. I mean... These pranksters really
you better call
outdid
your
themselves right,
I don't
right now.
Know if this is a good idea.
You should turn Minority Quarter into
a travel agency because those are doing really well these days.
Okay, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, travel agents are going
some people
down.
Really use them.
Older people,
yes,
my boomers.
Oh, there you
I
go.
I love boomers,
but you do.
I'll draw. Okay, calm down. My Aunt Sharon is a boomer.
There you go.
Actually, I don't think she is. Mm. I think she's the other one.
Gen X.
The greatest generation.
Oh, so she's... Okay, gotcha.
Oof. Sorry, I'm
Wait,
sharing.
Aren't they the same? Sorry to this
no,
lady.
No, they're different.
Aren't they the same? No?
The greatest generation
no,
is
I think
like...
they are.
They are not. Fight me.
All right, I'm going to fight you.
It is the greatest generation that
and
is
then
the boomers.
Boomers?
Because the...
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
because
there's the greatest generation are like the ones like Martin Luther King was part of the greatest generation. He's not a boomer.
I feel like black people don't really count in this.
But like a lot of the stuff that happened in like the civil rights movement, because
yeah,
it's a lot of the people who were in the generation before the boomers, like they continued the torch of it. Mm-hmm. But like the main mainstays and the names that you hear about,
yeah,
they all were
the
generation
before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Hey, you've reached Dr. Game Show. Leave your message after the beep.
Hello, this is Steve from Albany talking about my favorite podcast, Dr. Game Show. Dr. Game Show is a show where listeners submit their crazy ideas for game shows, and the two hosts have to play them, and they often bring in celebrities and small children to share in the pain and hilarity. At first, it might seem like Joe Firestone has a contentious relationship with listeners, but that is only mostly true. She actually really respects us. It's a lot like Lethal Weapon, where Joe is like, oh, listeners, you're all loose cannons. You're out of control. And we're like, no, Firestone, you're too by the book. You've forgotten what it's like out there. And that's why I love the show.
Listen to Dr. Game Show on Maximum Fun. New episodes every other Wednesday.
It's my corner, and I can cry if I want to. I'm not going to cry.
Don't cry.
Do you know why I'm not going to cry?
Why not?
Because I got a plan.
Okay.
I got a plan, bitch.
All right, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, she got a plan, too. Mm-hmm. So, and my plan is, so a lot of folks, a lot of folks feel like there's so much going on, and they feel hopeless. They're like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, well, I know what to do. Get involved.
Okay.
So I have of 3 to 4. I don't know how many are on here.
Numbers.
We'll figure it out. Yeah, I'm not a numbers guy. More of an ideas guy. Uh-huh. Like when you came to me and you were like, you need help with the podcast. You weren't like numbers.
Yeah. I was like ideas.
How do you get a microphone?
Yes. Which microphone do you use?
Do you know?
I
still have no idea.
I don't. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back to your corner.
So if you're feeling helpless, here are a few orgs that need your time, money, and awareness.
Okay.
And
so let me ask, when you say feeling helpless, mm-hmm. like being like, oh my God, the world's a mess, what do I do? Or is it like, I'm a mess, what do I do?
That is a great question. Mm-hmm. I love that follow-up question.
Okay.
I want to pivot to, I just want to
answer my question. Got it.
Uh-huh. I love a pivot. Oh mm-hmm. my God. I love pivots.
Yeah.
I love when I watch like any of these presidential candidates go on like The View and they'll ask them a question and they'll completely pivot to something.
Just like, okay, not answering that.
And they're like, I'm just going to stick to my stump speech thing. So I've been,
this is what I got. Thanks.
This is what I've been saying for the past 6 weeks. Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. No, this is the world and the country is a mess and you want to do something.
Gotcha.
Not only do you want to do something, you should be doing something.
There
you need to.
Yeah.
Again, if you can. Sometimes we have personal tragedies that happen. You got to put your own oxygen mask on first.
Absolutely.
But I will say the best way to get over whatever you've got going on, throw yourself into something that needs your help.
Yes.
In the words of Eden Crush, get over yourself, move on.
There you go.
Do you remember Eden's Crush?
I do.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I have to say, you're doing well on the pop culture front. The
music stuff I'm pretty good at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nicole Scherzinger got her start on there.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I went down a YouTube rabbit hole trying to watch the Pussycat Dolls documentary, only the first 9 minutes of the VH1 documentary was posted online. Mm-hmm. So if you know where I can find part two, please tweet me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is not you're a mess, but this is like the country is a mess and a burning trash fire. So most of these have to deal with just politics here in the U.S. And what's also nice about this is like, I think for some of us, maybe we don't even know if there's a specific candidate that we want to give our time to, or maybe your candidate's already dropped out and you're like, I don't know where I want to put my money and energy towards.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, first one, Fair Fight,
started
by Stacey Abrams. Mm-hmm. So Stacey Abrams lost in Georgia, or not lost.
Not really, but...
She didn't lose. There was an election was stolen from her.
There you go. She is not the governor, though she should be.
She's not the governor of Georgia, though she should be. And she, you know, had her mourning process and then was like, let me get involved. And, you know, she licked her wounds
do some shit.
Real quick and turned it around. And she says part of the mission is... to advocate for free and fair elections. So you can join that fight. Helps from, to helps prevent from illegal voter purges, poll closures of, you know, there was a lot of poll closures that were happening down in Georgia, hours before they were supposed to be closing. Yep. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff, like people's voting rights in Georgia are just being attacked like I said, voter purges, all that sort of stuff. And it's essentially just kind of like, you know, modern day poll taxes, literary tests or Jim Crow era. So in November 2018, Fair Fight filed a historic civil rights lawsuit in the federal court against the Georgia Secretary of State's office and their Board of Elections. And they challenged the gross mismanagement of the 2018 election that discouraged and disenfranchised voters. So you get involved in an organization, you're helping out with things like that.
Yep.
There was 1.6 million ballots that were purged in 2016.
Yikes.
Again, access to ballots, poll closures. Some votes weren't even counted. Thousands of absentee ballots were just not counted. So if you want to get involved, donate to this organization, even just like $5, helping out Stacey Abrams. Mm-hmm. She did come under... y'all need to quit on that Twitter. Everyone's just too crazy.
Yeah,
she came under fire because Mike Bloomberg gave her $5 million. Now she's
for Fair Fight.
For Fair Fight, not just like
hey Stacey, here's $5 million.
Good point.
Because he has been doing that with something.
It was to her this organization that she's doing.
It's doing great work.
Doing great work.
Yeah.
The money's not coming from Putin. That'd be different.
Yeah. You're right.
And don't accept that Putin money.
Please don't.
So if you want to get involved, you can volunteer. If you're in Georgia, you're looking for something to do, this.
Okay.
You can text FAIR to 70700. or visit fairfight.com. Mm-hmm. And also to, sorry, I got really excited.
Yeah.
But Georgia is it's a battleground state.
It is soon becoming a battleground
state. Yeah, we're pushing it into. And this is going to help. And it makes sense. There's like tons of like such diversity in Georgia. Like, it should have been. But I think there was so much voter disenfranchisement that was happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it was keeping people out from voting.
Right.
Speaking of people keeping people out from voting, the modern day slavery known as the prison industrial complex does a great job of making it so folks can't
vote.
And unfortunately, because of our current laws and systems, a lot of those people tend to be black and brown because we are overly represented in the prison system.
We are.
So it was a really great thing that happened in 2018 in the midterm elections is that the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition fought to overwhelmingly get ex-felons the right to vote back again.
Yes. Re-enfranchise.
Huge. Amazing.
It's amazing. A big win.
Because, like, also, too, it's like, I mean, again, with the system being as whack as it is, like, if you went to prison for some marijuana charges, can't vote.
Then you can't vote.
Bullshit. And then, again, not even mentioning all the different people who are being found, you know, innocent. Like, because, again, I think, I forget the amount, I haven't watched the documentary 13th in a long time, but the amount of, like, people that don't even end up going to trial, they just take a plea. And so there's all kinds of bullshit. And also just like, listen, like if it's all about rehabilitation, someone goes away or...
And they're rehabilitated.
They're rehabilitated.
Their rights should be restored.
They should be able to vote. Yeah. So anyway, so that happened. But then...
And by the way, it was a referendum, right? So the people of Florida voted on this.
Good point.
These voting rights.
It was...
Which is a very, you know... Florida doesn't normally rise to the level.
No.
But,
and I've been saying for a long time that I just think that Mother Nature is trying to take Florida away from us.
Yeah, yeah.
With the rise in sea levels. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But you can stay now. Florida, now you can stay.
I guess. They'll do some fucked up shit very soon.
Well, if we change their voting, like if we get these people back out there.
On the rolls and able to vote, then you're right.
They're so
on a positive trajectory.
Florida Rights Restoration Coalition definitely needs your help because, you know, this great thing that happened, you know, some white GOP lawmakers are trying to fuck it up.
Oh, of course.
So in June, the Florida GOP-controlled legislature voted along party lines to pass SB 7066, and it was a bill implementing the amendment with the requirement that former felons pay off all court fees and fines before the terms of their sentence is deemed completed. Because essentially, a new referendum amendment was saying that, like, you can vote if all of the terms of their sentence, including parole or probation, have been met, but doesn't apply for murder or sex crimes. Sounds good to me.
Okay, fine.
Yep, that's fine. You murdered someone. Sorry, you're done. Sex crime, get out of here.
We can have those conversations later. Let's start with these folks.
Okay, fair. We'll circle back around. Sex crimes.
We'll circle back around.
Okay, all right.
Leave it off the table for
now. Okay, fair. All right. But the problem with that is, first of all, that's not what the people voted on.
You mean with regards to like the fees and the fines and all that, right?
That's not what they were talking about. Yeah. And it just, again, so now about 80% of Florida's felons have all these fees.
Yeah.
So then you had all this great work that was done, and now all these people, it was about like millions of people, I don't know, 1.6 million, or maybe that was the voter purge, but millions of people.
A lot of people.
A lot of people were given the right, and then it was taken away. Good news is currently a judge has put in a injunction.
Yes.
So that's good. So it stopped in the tracks, but done.
Yeah. I wasn't sure you knew that. I thought I was going to break that news to you.
You were ready.
I think it just happened today.
Oh.
Yeah.
See,
look
current
at
events. Being,
current
events.
Mm-hmm.
So,
being ready.
But the injunction doesn't mean like it's done. It just means like they're stopping it for now.
They can, exactly.
Right? But it's just like putting a little safety dam, like a dental dam.
Sure.
A political dental dam.
There you go. That's what it is.
Then it could break.
It could.
So, donate.
I told you, Florida will find a way to fuck some shit up.
Well, especially with those rising sea levels.
Yeah.
So donate, volunteer, join a chapter. They also do a lot of different events and demonstrations. They do like bus tours. Okay, so get involved. Vote Save America. So this one is from, I learned about this from listening to Pod Save America.
There you go.
where my, I'm not going to call him an enemy.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm not even going like down this. I'm not even going down this rabbit hole today.
Frenemy?
We're gonna we'll circle back.
Okay.
Okay. So, Vote Save America essentially is a great website to go where you can essentially just like keep up to date with like all the different ways to be involved, what's going on in the political spectrum.
Okay.
And I, one of the big things that they're doing that really made me excited is that they're getting, they're getting people ready in those battleground states now, like on the ground in terms of like campaign offices
for 2020.
Yeah. Because what is happening if, you know, we wait all the way until like we have like a nominee or after the, you know,
the convention
to then get in those states.
Yeah, I know.
It's too late, which is also, I think, another reason of why the first, I love an idea of like rotating for the first,
for the primary. Yeah.
Like it should be in battleground.
Battleground states.
A diverse battleground state.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You look at like all the work that we put into Iowa,
and then
people
like,
pack it up and leave.
Right.
And
I mean, a Democrat could win it. Like I think Obama won it maybe once.
Right.
Not sure if it was twice, but yeah, so it can, Iowa can sometimes, I guess, be a battleground state, but right. I agree. Like, there should definitely be some changes to the order.
Yeah.
And you could do something where it's like, well, what were the most battlegroundy states last time?
Yeah.
Let's start with those.
Let's go. Let's get there. Was it Mississippi? Let's go.
Let's go.
Nobody ever talks about Mississippi.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remembering you now. Hey, so this is a great place to go because they're looking to organize like paid positions. Cha-ching, get paid for your work.
As you should.
So they're looking to hire people and put them like already getting them ready, training people, training volunteers. So that way like we're already.
So it's basically like regardless of who the nominee is, you guys are ready to work.
Exactly.
Get the vote out.
Being down there. I'm yep. And you can also sign up for volunteer shifts with organizers or candidates that will have the impact in your neighborhood. So this is also great, too, because they have, like, it's a very well-run, it's a busy website. There's a lot of, like, flash stuff happening.
Okay.
But it's cool, so but that, be careful.
The boomers don't like it.
Yeah. Did you say the boomers won't like it?
The boomers won't like it.
Get off them boomers.
I'm just saying.
Leave them boomers alone. Mm-hmm. Some of them are, we got to win them back.
Yeah, no, we do.
Okay.
Some number of them.
Yes. Well, okay. I'm trying to get my dad back, not Sharon.
No, yeah, I want your dad back.
So you can sign up with this great because they'll tell you where you can make an impact in your neighborhood or in battleground states. You can donate to strategic funds to support candidates and organizers in places where your dollars can have the biggest impact on election outcomes. So you can know exactly like, where should I be putting my money?
Yeah, yeah.
You can also, through here, they'll adopt one or more of the key battleground states and unique programs that show you how to win over voters in Arizona, Florida, Michigan, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin.
Okay, battlegroundies.
Yeah. And you can find a job to do all this shit full time. Hey, so, look, that's a really good place to go. Vote Save America. Donate. Get involved. This was an honorable mention. Oh, this is why. Because I was only going to go with those three. But then I remembered. There's Swing Left.
Uh-huh.
Swing Left. Mm-hmm. I keep wanting to say Swing Chariot.
Chariot.
It's not about you.
It's not. It's about swinging left.
It's about swing left. That's all we're doing.
That was the only word says all.
So this is great because they're like really looking at like there's, they're calling 12 super states.
Yeah.
And there's different things that are happening in Texas, Arizona, Colorado, Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Maine, North Carolina, Georgia, and Florida.
Okay.
How are we supposed to do 50 of those? I can only do 12. Like, say it.
You can only say 12 states.
I'm done for the night. I said 12 states. So there's at least four. We only need to flip at least four Senate seats.
Okay.
And so what they've done, they have a map of like which ones they're really trying to target in terms of like flipping. Also like helping with like Republican gerrymandering. Mm-hmm.
So like local stuff, statewide.
Local stuff, state run, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And also some of those are also battleground states for the White House. So
yeah.
Definitely go to Swing Left. You can donate. You can volunteer. You can
do like GLTV stuff.
What'd you call me?
You know, a god of GLTV.
What is that?
Mm-hmm. Get out the vote.
Okay. See, mm-hmm.
learning.
Listen, I'm gonna tell y'all a little. He works in politics, so he'd be knowing all these phrases and stuff
and that acronyms some of us and such.
Don't be knowing.
Don't be knowing stuff.
You heard what he, I was like, what he called me? I'm gonna take my weave off.
Okay.
I just pictured myself with just like a little, like just a little bang weave
front piece. Okay.
Do you think I could pull that off?
Yeah.
I don't believe you. Yeah. Okay. So you can volunteer at events. You can get out. You can got of. And you can volunteer at events. You can host your own. You can do a house party.
Hey, I like the sound of that.
That was clever. Okay. Yeah, see that? Yeah. You could also listen to House Party.
You could have
a house party listening to House Party.
Yes.
You also just think about this. I think every party that you have... have a donation jar.
True.
Right? Even if it's just like $5 or whatever, you can donate to one of these organizations. Mm-hmm. Even if it isn't Swing Left. And I got this idea from looking at a picture on Swing Left.
Okay.
But ideas are for everybody.
Yeah. There you go.
Okay. In case you didn't know, ideas are for everyone.
For everyone.
Not just for you, Swing Left.
Yeah.
So, yes, you can fundraising, canvassing, letter writing, phone banking, voter registration. Mm-hmm. Ding, 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 ding. I think voter registration is one of the best things that for some people, if you're like, I don't like calling people. I don't like doing like other like canvassing for like fundraising and stuff. Mm-hmm. Voter registration to me is like one of the easiest low hanging fruits because it's like. It's kind of non-political to a certain degree.
Yeah, it definitely.
Even though we're doing it for political reasons, because when the turnout is bigger, it gets bluer.
This is very true. Factual.
I wish that rhyme more because it could be like a bumper sticker.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's right. People like a rhyme. Mm-hmm. So,
but also like voter registration is good too because it's easier to like ask.
Stop people on the street. Like, hey, are you registered? Vote?
Yes. Okay. No. Okay. Here you go.
Yeah, you're not asking.
And you
for
can take the form
else.
With you. You don't even have to like. Have them fill it out and do it. And, you know, hopefully they fill it out.
Yeah.
But, you know.
It's the easiest way in making a really great impact. And also, like, getting that person involved in their political system, which they already should be.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are like, I wasn't registered to vote here in New York. And I was, like, on my to-do list. And there was officiating a wedding in Central Park. And these kids who couldn't vote were like, are you registered to vote? And I was like, oh, perfect. I've been meaning to do this.
There you go.
So.
But don't wait for kids in the park to... find you to register you. If you're not registered,
that's a good call.
Go
to the park and see what comes
my
way.
See what happens.
Don't do that.
Because a lot of things could come your way and they may not be good things.
It's true. Parks be dangerous. And don't be in there at night. Remember, we were in Central Park at night and it was scary.
Were we?
My birthday.
Oh, yes.
I was really drunk. Their sun was out and then it wasn't.
That tends to happen. Yeah.
I hate it when that happens. Volunteer remotely. You can do volunteer remotely stuff. I don't know.
Okay.
I think it's more letter writing.
Yeah, or like texting.
What is letter writing?
Write a letter to your elected official.
I'll do that.
Say support this fucking thing.
F-bombs.
Just like that. All that.
Okay, last one.
Okay.
There's kids in cages still.
There are.
And I think it's important to remember, and there's two organizations that I'm going to put links in the show notes for all of these, but there's RAICES, RAICES. Mm-hmm. They're the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services. Mm-hmm. So they provide free and low cost legal services for underserved immigrant children, families, and refugees in Central and South Texas. Mm-hmm. And then there's also KIND, KIND, mm-hmm. Kids in Need of Defense works to provide high quality pro bono legal representation to children who enter the immigration system alone. Mm-hmm. So two organizations that I think that are, if you're like, you know, wanting to give a little $5 here, $10, some of y'all balling, $100, some of y'all are Mike Bloomberg and they're listening.
$1 billion.
So why don't you drop $1 billion?
Like you legit could go and like round these people up and take care of them.
I mean, there's other things you could be doing with this money and time.
Yeah.
Also,
instead of spending it on ads.
And Tom Steyer too. Like you could have been.
Too.
And sure, the Washington Post told me that you were my third choice candidate, which I was shocked and surprised.
Okay.
Meant nothing to me.
Yeah, because you're not going to vote for him.
No, but not at all. But it was interesting to know what his policies were.
Yeah.
So there's that.
But it's not necessary for him to be here.
Not at all. And don't worry, he'll be leaving soon.
If I have anything to say about it.
I won't, but the voters will.
Yes.
So those are, don't be hopeless. There's plenty to do.
There you go.
Hey, everyone. It's I, John Hodgman of the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
And I, Elliot Kalin of the Flophouse podcast.
And we've made a whole new podcast, a 12-episode special mini-series called iPodius, in which we recap, discuss, and explore the very famous 1976 BBC miniseries about ancient Rome called I, Claudius. We've got incredible guests such as Gillian Jacobs, Paul F. Tompkins, as well as star of I, Claudius, Sir Patrick Stewart, and his son, non-Sir Daniel Stewart.
Don't worry, Dan, you'll get there someday.
I, Claudius is the name of the show. Every week from MaximumFun.org for only 12 weeks. Get them at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've been watching some things.
All right.
So American Factory on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I'm really bad at watching some things. So
why don't you just listen to it, like the radio, put on the background and like listen.
I mean, but I want to be able to like, you know how many things I've like started and then like I realize, oh shit, I'm not paying attention. And then so like I restart
like, what are you doing like, instead? Like reading a book
working or
something?
Or reading an article or, you know, tweeting, trying
TV.
To go viral,
oh,
you know? Yeah.
You house party,
responding
you house
to work
party
emails.
Kids love to try to go viral.
You gotta, you know, coronavirus. You gotta catch it and spread
tweet,
it.
Tweet, tweet. Yeah. That's, oh, the travel agency's really down because of coronavirus.
Oh.
And
because only boomers use it. So there's that.
Ouch. Also, because Chinese tourism is huge worldwide, so it's being affected, but the travel agents there. So, American Factory on Netflix, if you put your phone down, you put your work down, you give yourself, what's dope about this, I think this is, it just won an Oscar.
It did.
And what's nice about this is like one of the first ones from the Obama's production company.
Yes, this is true.
And when you know who has an Oscar? The Obamas. You know who doesn't?
The Trumps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm,
I
they're
know
trash.
It secretly stings because all he wanted to do was run Trump TV and now the Obamas are producing media.
Yeah, exactly.
And winning
awards and shit. And he has to, well, he's not really doing work. But,
he's not doing
anything.
He's ruining the country.
Yes.
Ruining our lives. Ruining the world. American Factory is so dope. No spoilers.
Okay. No spoilers.
But it's just incredibly fascinating because
it's a series, right? I think I thought that it was like just
it's
like a...
It's just one. It's just
a
movie.
Oh, it is just one. Okay,
yep,
gotcha.
Just a movie.
All right, so I was right.
So yeah, just a two-hour movie. You block out 2 hours.
I can do it.
It's not episodic. So yeah, you block out that time. You watch The American Factory. What was so great about it is it's... I think most stories that are told, it's about people who live on the coast. Mm-hmm. A lot of our stories are coastal stories. So it's like people living in New York and LA and like we miss a lot of like the middle of the country.
Like movies and shit. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, movies and TV.
Yeah.
And even there are some documentaries that pop up, but I feel like there's not like it was interesting. It was people that I have never really seen before.
Yeah, gotcha.
And it's the real like blue collar workers who are working in these factories that were completely, you know, shut down.
Right,
and
after the crash of the economy and all that.
Yes. So essentially the premise, Chinese businessman comes on and just, you know, buys the company. And it's fascinating because it touches on globalization.
Yeah.
It touches on, you know, who these people are who feel like they've been left behind by the country. Mm-hmm. And you also see who blue collar factory workers really are. Mm-hmm. And it's everybody.
Mm-hmm. Not just white people.
Not just white people. CNN, who's like, let's interview these blue collar people.
AKA white people. Right.
Blue collar people, it's everybody being blue collar, putting this shit together.
Yes.
And I think also too, like I've only lived on the coast, and so I don't have friends who work
American
in factories. So I think it's too. I think for those of us who live on these coasts or away from these factory towns, it is giving us insight into these other
life for other people. Yeah, I mean, honestly, it's clearly a diminishing industry, right? Like. Everything now is like
A lot of automation.
Automation.
As Andrew Yang was talking about.
That's right. Another candidate who's dropped out. But yeah, I mean, like it's finance and it's like IT and you know, so a lot of the industries are not. Yeah, a lot of the industries are not like you know.
I work in tech,
hammering stuff together. See, exactly.
And automation is stealing my job.
Oh, there you go. So you should move to the middle of the country and
work in this factory. And it's so, factory. You know, it also to your, it talks about the importance of like unions as well.
Yeah.
Okay. And that it's just interesting too, because with this globalization, there's certain practices and standards that, I mean, these people were getting such pay decreases when the Chinese company took over. Yeah. And also just the efficiency of how much they're able to produce in such a faster way over in China, how much the more they work. Mm-hmm. And also it's like, this country is not perfect, but there's a lot of great things about it that we do have. Mm-hmm. And so it made me appreciate that other places don't. Yeah. And so I think if it's so interesting, this whole entire last like year has made me oddly more patriotic.
That's good.
Because I've seen what is at stake and what could be crumbling
before
our very eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like the impeachment trial made me more patriotic because I was like, I understood why we were doing what it is that we're doing. Holding up the sanctity of our constitution.
Yeah, and it's like, I mean, you can see the impeachment thing for, you know, a good example. Like you can see like the wisdom of, now, mind you, yes, slave owners. Lots of problems here.
Yeah.
But like you can see the with regard specifically to how they formed the country, you can see like the wisdom in some of the, you know, in a lot of the decisions that they made.
Very
it's like,
smart.
Cool, we didn't have to use this before, but we got to use it now. Or like we've only had to use this a couple of times, but like really need this shit with this guy.
It was a wild. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. You sort of the things that maybe we're taking for granted that I'm like, oh, let's hold on to these and make them for everybody.
Yes.
So I highly recommend American Factory. And then if you stick around,
there's
two episodes.
Oh, okay.
There's a second 10-minute episode featuring the Obamas. Yeah, they come in and it's amazing.
Can I do that one first?
No, because they talk to the filmmakers about the fucking...
Okay, fine.
You won't understand what they're talking about.
Gotcha. But it's the Obamas talking.
And you're just like, melt. Do you listen to her book?
I did.
So good.
It was amazing. I couldn't stop.
Like when it got to like the last 20 minutes, I was like,
just like
no.
Put it down. Don't stop.
I was just like doing like a minute at a time because I didn't want Michelle Obama to leave my life. Uh-huh. And then I just listened to her on Oprah's Super Soul Session recently, and I'm like, I'm gonna go listen to that book again.
There you go.
She's amazing. Also recommend Zoe Kravitz is in Hulu's High Fidelity remake.
So what's that about? Like I saw just like a print ad and I was like, oh, she looks gorgeous. And then I was like, oh, it's for a new show. But I have no idea what it's
Zoe
about.
Zoe Kravitz is one of the coolest human beings on
this
Earth.
This is true. Yeah.
She's just so cool. You're
but
just
like also her entire family. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I mean, there's no one else that I'd rather... No, wait. Mm-hmm. I realized this recently. I was like, these people are like, who would you like to be? I'm like, I like being me.
There you go.
But I would not mind being Zoe Kravitz.
I wouldn't mind...
I would be her in a heartbeat. Oh, she's just so cool. I feel like she's just so cool and everybody loves her. So the series is sort of like a remake, but it's a series. It's a remake of a movie that was made in the 90s.
Okay.
And it was like, the movie was like very like pop culturally, referenced a lot of like pop culture and like music, takes place in a record store. And that's where people, the phrase like, what like top five action movies, top five, the idea of like having a top five came out of the movie High Fidelity.
Oh, okay.
The show is just so...
Who was in the original? Do you know?
White guy.
Okay. Yeah, whatever.
They're like tweeting
Research,
at me right
Google,
now.
We could look it up. But yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Have Malik tweet at us about it.
Yes, go viral searching for the answer.
Found it, guys. But like, so the show, it kind of reminds me of what I think Spike Lee was trying to do with his
She's Gotta Have It remake.
The remake.
Yeah.
It just does, I think, in a much better way. It's her sort of just like navigating life here in New York after a broken heart. And she owns a record store. And
it's like now, right? Like, so
set
like 2020.
Nowadays.
Yeah. Like, okay, gotcha.
Yeah. So the references are really on point. The conversations that they have about pop culture and life are really on point. She breaks the fourth wall. So it's a lot of like direct to camera. So she's like connecting with you.
Okay.
It's just a really.
I'm all for Zoe Kravitz looking at me and talking to me. And engaging with me. I'm all for it.
And then I'm like 1 degree separation from her stepdad.
Oh, okay.
Jason Momoa.
What's that degree?
What degree?
You're 1 degree.
Because if
from
she's
him?
Looking at me, then I'm 1 degree
that's
separation
the connect-
from him.
Okay. I feel like there's some more degrees in there.
No.
Okay, we're going to go with that. That's fine.
Here we go.
Okay.
And then officially 2 steps away, 2 degrees of separation from Jason Momoa.
Okay.
When I hosted the Black Panther red carpet, I met Tessa Thompson.
Okay.
Tessa Thompson And took half, okay, 3 degrees separation.
All right, keep adding. Uh-huh. Okay. So Tessa Thompson,
Tessa Thompson met her. Uh-huh. She and Janelle Monáe, need I say more, right?
Just she and Janelle Monáe.
She and Janelle Monáe.
Yes.
And then
which I really liked. I didn't like when that stopped being a thing. But
yeah, it just kind of fizzled out. I know. And I didn't get a press release.
And it was like she was just dating someone else. And I was like, but what happened to... I was
still
on the way to over the here. Winning. Like I what? Okay.
See, this is Trump's America. Is what happens.
Okay.
So Janelle Monáe, and then Zoe Kravitz guest sings on one of Janelle Monáe's songs.
Does she?
Yes, really? And it's oddly something summer cool. Okay. It's got like a summer cool vibe to it. Zoe Kravitz sings on it.
Like a more recent? Or it's like a long
it was
time
on
ago.
Her like Dirty recent. Sex Love.
Oh, okay.
What was it? Whatever. Dirty Computer. Yeah. Dirty Sex Love. Okay.
I feel like that was years
Dirty Computer ago, right? 2 years ago. It was like
it was 2 years
only
ago. 2 years
ago? Mm-hmm.
I feel like it was
Dirty
more,
Computer.
But all right.
So, okay. So we get it.
Okay.
Did we get it?
So you met Tessa Thompson. Tessa Thompson.
Who was with Janelle Monáe. Zoe Kravitz sang
Monáe
on Janelle Monáe's song Jason Momoa. Does that mean it's 4-3?
I'm
farther away than I thought. That makes me sad.
That's a good question. I don't know if that makes it 3 or 4.
That's 3.
We'll say 3.
Doing our rules. Yeah. Anyways, go watch the show.
Check it out.
Is this something you can binge? Yeah, they released all the episodes
so
at once.
Okay.
So I originally was just like, oh, I'm going to, eat
check
this salad and just watch like 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then 8 episodes cold later, mm-hmm. I still have a few more to go.
Okay.
But it's just a dope show. And also just seeing like great diversity, black lady leading the show. Mm-hmm. She's got a black friend in it.
Oh.
Her, gay guy in it.
Okay.
It's New York City.
Yeah.
We're there.
Yeah.
It's good.
Tons of different people.
Check it out.
I'm with it.
Whoa. So that is the show. Now, caveat, we recorded while the debate was happening and then tuned in to see what was happening, and it was just we tuned in to see the Titanic hitting the iceberg that was Elizabeth Warren. Oh my god, she murdered a billionaire on stage. What a debate! We will have to recap the amazingness of what happened next week. We'll unpack that a little bit more, and we'll have the results of the Nevada caucus. And see how that went. Hopefully much better than Iowa. All right, well, that's the show. Really great having Kyle on the show. It was like having a lawyer on the show because we kind of did. You can definitely listen to his podcast, House Party, with him and Malik. If Malik is done doing viral tweeting, then there'll be lots to listen to. So the quick fact checked before we get out of here. So is Billy McFarland still in prison? He should be. According to the Daily Beast, he had a 6-year prison sentence issued to him back in 2019. I had mentioned a song about Little Kim where she's shooting. Well, or I wasn't sure. I talked about a rumor about Little Kim being involved in some sort of gun battle. Now, it wasn't necessarily with Foxy Brown, but she did plead ignorance back in 2001. To a street corner gun battle that erupted between her crew and another rapper's posse outside a radio station. So I'm not crazy. It wasn't just a fever dream. And on her amazing album, The Notorious K.I.M., there's a song called Revolution. In the beginning, she is, saddling up her guns. Gun terminology. She's getting her guns ready. Oh, and as soon as we ended the show, Kyle did let me know that it turns out this Lover's Fest, Little Kim is in. She said the check is cleared. Thanks, Uncle Snoop Dogg. So far, so good. So far, not a fire festival. But I don't know. Y'all might be sucking some dick for a cheese sandwich and a water. There was a question about, or I made a question about generations, and you'd think I would know this because I literally just did a corner about generations not too long ago, but here's the rundown. So the silent generation, no, we'll start with this. The greatest generation was actually born between 1901 and 1927, and then the silent generation was from 1928 to 1945, And then the boomers are from 1946 to 1964. Silent Generation, not a great name for a generation. But I think that's the generation that does include people like Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. So maybe it was like the opposite of being silent. I don't get it. High Fidelity, the original High Fidelity, starred that white guy, John Cusack, which I know you were yelling at me about, also has Lisa Bonet, a.k.a. the mother of Zoe Kravitz, who is starring in the new High Fidelity, and Catherine Zeta-Jones, and Joan Cusack, and Jack Black. Okay, I gotta check this one out. Came out in 2000. I'm late to the party, but I'm black. It was not one of our movies on the Black Criterion Collection. Okay, the song that Zoe Kravitz sings on Janelle Monáe's Dirty Computer, it's called Screwed, track 5. The amount of cases that don't actually go to trial and just take a plea deal, 97%. And then how many people voted in Florida for that referendum to give convicts the right to vote? Again, it was 64% of the vote, so overwhelmingly giving 1.5 million ex-convicts the right to vote again. And the organization from Vote Save America that you should definitely pay attention to, that they're connected to, is called Leave It on the Field. They're the ones that are doing a lot of the field organizing, getting us in, getting us on the ground in those states, organizing now so we don't wait till it's too late. And that is the show. So be sure to check these show notes of how you can stay in contact with Kyle, and make sure to listen to House Party, subscribe to House Party, have a great time with that. And don't be afraid to get involved in the conversation. You can follow us on Twitter at Minority Corner. You can make sure to email us at minoritycorner@gmail.com. You can also join us at the Facebook group, the Minority Corner Kids Playground. It's a thing. It's happening. And thank you so much for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.